Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
Another perfect product for summertime.
Right.
We're in the thick of summer and you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals to support sunny, active days. Factor, F-A-C-T-O-R, is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit and can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track reaching your goals. So meal prep is like the thing these days. You skip the grocery store and you get fresh, never frozen, ready to eat food in 2 minutes. Meal prep is a great way to reach your fitness goals. So meal prep is the thing these days. Basically, if you want to skip the grocery store, you get fresh, never frozen, ready to eat meals in 2 minutes with Factor. So meal prep is a great way to reach your fitness goals, okay? And they give you fresh food prepared by chefs, stuff like, you know, broccoli, asparagus, leeks, and there's 34 restaurant quality options. Meals like bruschetta shrimp risotto, steakhouse filet mignon, and it also caters to any type of diet that you have. It's very important. They have a calorie smart options, which are under 500 calories. They have keto options, which I'm a big fan of. They have vegan, vegetarian options, and protein plus options with over 30 plus grams of protein per order. All right, you can also mix them up. You can add some proteins with your vegan order if you want to. And also they have like over 40 snacks that you can try and breakfast options like apple cinnamon pancakes, bacon and cheddar egg bites. And they also have assorted juices, shakes, and smoothies. It's got everything. Let me give you a perfect example. Tons of girls at work use Factor. And all of them are getting in shape. I look at these girls that they come into work all the time, like they've lost weight in the summertime. I go, what are you doing? They say intermittent fasting and factor meals. They're meal prepping. That's the easiest way to stay on point with your diet is meal prep. And Factor meals is the perfect option for it. So with Factor, you can rest assured you're making a sustainable choice. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions, source 100% renewable electricity for the production sites and offices, and feature sustainably sourced seafood in the meals. So this July, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered right to your door. They're not frozen, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Take them and throw them away. You don't have to cook. You don't have to clean. It's that easy. So head to factormeals.com/K150. That's Factor Meals at K10050, and they're giving you 50% off. You have to try this at 50% off. That's code K150 at factormeals.com/K150 to get 50% off. You have to give this a try. If you're having trouble dieting, if you're having trouble meal prepping, try Factor Meals. Very effective.
Right, and we got sent just to try it, and I thought it was great, so I ordered some more. I'm a big fan of the short ribs, and they have a really good chicken teriyaki and beef and cheese enchilada. You can choose, you know what I'm saying? So been tried by all of us. We all like it. I don't know. What do you like there, Joe?
Well, it's funny that you said steak, because the one that I tried was the Grilled Steakhouse Filet, and that was very, you know, it was almost restaurant like good. I was really, really surprised. It didn't taste like something.
That's the main thing. You can tell the difference in the quality. Sorry for cutting you off.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It didn't taste like something that you just heated up at home. You know, it tasted freshly made and all that.
So, you know, we're always looking out for you, whether it's your health. Stay healthy, and this is a great way to do it. And you can get it at Factor Meals. Boom.
All right, next one's his and Shinji Uso from Lion McCarthy. Hey, guys, I know Jey Uso had a few minute events, and now he's pinned Roman, but could you see him, say, challenging at SummerSlam and beating Roman and being a true main eventer? For me, it's challenging that if he was outside of Roman's storyline, he wouldn't get close to the same reactions, but would love to know your opinions. Bro, Jey Uso is an excellent performer. I mean, when he was doing when they started the Roman angle with him during the COVID, yeah. Like his you can just tell the guy's a really good actor. Mm-hmm. That whole group is good, they're all good actors, you know?
And if that story didn't have such a great beginning, you know, would it be so highly regarded? Would it have continued on that track? Like Jey helped start it all.
Yeah, what do you think, Conan?
Well, if you're gonna have to give the rub to somebody sooner or later, might as well give it to him. He's the most natural opponent you have. If you weren't gonna do it with Zayn, you might as well do it with him. And somebody should get the rub, you know.
This is interesting. I'm reading the first sentence here, this next one, and I'm intrigued by this. Roy Lucier. The subject is Wally the Wall. Good morning, K100 crew. I'm rewatching Conan's match from Cal State Los Angeles on July 4th, 1992. And Conan's opponent is El Cobarde, the coward in English. And he's a huge muscle guy in his corner for the match. I reached out to Billy Anderson, the trainer of Sting, Ultimate Warrior, and Luis Piccoli, who knows 99% of the crew from the SoCal area, and asked him for info on the muscle guy who resembles an even bigger Tony Holm, Ludwig Borga. Apparently this guy's name is Marcus Mueller, who used the name Wally the Wall here. He was, and not shockingly, the guy in the area who could get you any type of medication you want and was trying to break into the business. An even more crazy stat on this dude was less than 3 years later, he was murdered by mass murderer David Bieber in Fort Myers, Florida. My question is for Conan. What at all do you remember about this guy? He was beyond massive. And also, do you remember why James Inouye was your second in this match? And also, why didn't AAA run its Cal State Los Angeles again after this? Thanks again, everyone, for the amazing content. This is a very interesting question to take a deep dive into. Conan, do you remember this guy?
Yeah. He was a German guy. Very nice. He was trying to break into the business.
When the guy said he could get you any type of medication you want. What does that mean?
Yeah, we didn't talk about steroids. But
Well, you can pill, but I meant somas too, probably, right?
Yeah, right. Jesus. But yeah, and those time I wasn't taking pills.
All right.
And I was getting my shit in Mexico anyways, so I really didn't need him for a hookup. I'm pretty sure he was in the other corner to take a bump for me or something. That's what I'm thinking. And I did read that story. Somebody sent it to me, and it was really weird. I don't remember the whole thing, but basically this guy was selling steroids, and he had like a partner that was a bodybuilder that was also selling steroids. What was his name? I think he said his name in the letter.
El Cobarde?
No, that's the wrestler.
Billy Anderson?
No, that's the trainer.
Marcus.
That's the wrestler. No,
David Bieber.
David Bieber.
Yes.
Oh, he's killed by David Bieber. He was killed by David Bieber.
Right. Yeah. So that David Bieber guy, whatever, him and him, they were both bodybuilders and they were selling steroids. And then they ended up like hooking up with the same chick. And the chick ended up cheating on this guy, the Mueller guy, and getting married with that Bieber guy. Mm-hmm. But she was still fucking around with the German guy. Okay. And he found out about it, and he got some fucking idiot, some 17-year-old kid, and to shoot him. And I think he was like a person of interest. And then he ran off to England, and he got stopped in England, and three cops stopped him, and he shot all three of them. And then he fucking, they found him like a week later. Like, it's a real crazy story, you know?
Who's James? Who's James Anoa'i?
James Anoa'i is one of the.
Yeah, he is. But which one is he? I can't find it. I can't find it. That's why I'm asking. Like, the name's not coming up, you know? Who was your bodyguard in that match, or manager or whatever, Conan? Do you know? He says James Anoa'i, and I can't figure out who that is.
I think at that time, Rikishi's brother was wrestling with us, Tonga Kid.
Oh, okay.
So he might have brought somebody with him that day, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Next is from Gino Young, and the subject is Elton John. At the Forbidden Door media scrum, Tony Khan seamlessly gloated about the fact he paid more than a wrestler's salary to get the rights to use Final Countdown for Brian Ant Danielson's entrance. Also, for AW Collision, the theme song is Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting by Elton John. Why? Right now, Elton John is on a farewell tour, and it's the highest-grossing tour of all time. It's almost made $900 million, and there's still more to come. There's no way that Tony Khan got to license that song for anything below seven figures. Why? It's not like Elton John is plugging AEW like how Metallica plugged WWE for using their stuff on TV or video games, etc. My question is, what exactly does this add to wrestling? I see guys like Bischoff, Cornette, etc. raving about the song usage for some reason. The song is good, but it's not going to bring in ratings. It's not going to make matches better. It's not going to make up for the zero storylines going on. I cannot understand this or why Tony Khan is spending all this money on real songs for entrance music, considering that's not helping anyone. Please explain this to me, guys. Gino. Do I have to explain to you, okay, that when Gino obviously doesn't have like billions of dollars, okay, so the cost of the song is probably as insignificant to a guy that has billions of dollars as that Gino Young could comprehend here.
But not only that.
Also,
yeah.
Go ahead.
You say it's not helping anyone. That everything doesn't have to be to help somebody. It's another part of the show that makes it more enjoyable. When you're able to get, if your show's on Saturday, and you're fighting, you can get a song, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, yeah, by Elton John, which a lot of people
know
that
song. I think it's a good song to open the
show. Cool. Right.
It's a cool song. Right. It's a decent song for an open. You know what I always thought? I always wonder why the song Cherub Rock by Smashing Pumpkins, why Billy Corgan never used that for the open. It's a great song. Joe, pull up Cherub Rock, okay? I want people to, because I don't know if a lot of people remember this song. This is, and I'm going to give you my synopsis of why I think this song would be a great song to open a show. Okay, we'll get back to this. All right, but when you get it, let me know. Now, here's my thing. When I'm doing the vision of the open for the show, okay, when the first part of this song is kicking in, okay, I'm having the vision is you're showing professional wrestlers like getting out of cars, getting on planes, like guys like professional wrestlers, and they're in an airport, they're traveling, they're just like they're doing things, right? And then as the song continues, you show in very quick edits the arena, the production crew filling up the arena with the production thing, like all the ring, like very quick. And then when the guitar kicks in, action from the wrestlers and stuff, like guys coming out of the entrance wave, diving and stuff, everything. All those elements into this song, and I think it'd be a great open for the show. Let's hear it. Can you show a bunch of like show wrestlers like get in the car, the radio?
Going to Sapphire.
Then you show the arena filling up, and you show the, you know, it just keeps going. But this is a great song.
And like there, you can start showing the lights going on, and
right, yeah, you just, yeah, bro, it's a good song. This is one of my favorite songs growing up. I'm surprised that Billy doesn't use this. It's like, this is a great song for an open of a show. It's good, it's like strong, you know, it's like good energy. Okay, all right, this is enough, Joe.
Corgan with hair,
yeah. Conan, guess what?
Yo, what up?
Got a new sponsor, and it's perfect for this time of year. Bird Dogs. Stretch khaki shorts are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg and give you a truly sculpted look. Now, here's the issue. Summertime in Vegas, and especially I'm going back home to Atlanta, right? I can't wear shorts, like regular shorts. you know, because right. it's too hot, it gets too sweaty. You know, shorts, like typical shorts, like dress shorts, are made of like, you know, restrictive cottons, right. kind of stiff, right? Well, Bird Dog's fit six issue by inventing cloud knit fabric that looks just like the khaki, but stretches so you get a way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. And it uses anti-stink sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long, right? So this is just a perfect product. I have to wear athletic shorts all the time in Vegas because it's so hot. I can't wear right. the regular shorts. This is right. the perfect fit. They look like dress shorts. They fit like athletic shorts. They're loose. They're not restrictive. They're perfect.
Here's a great part of it, because we all got a pair, but they have like an inside lining, which makes everything really, really comfortable. And just the material is very comfortable. And on top of that, like their pants, they don't feel really tight and they're really comfortable and they look sweet.
Right. They fit like that, like the comfort of athletic shorts, but they look like dress shorts.
Right.
So that would be the best
way to put it.
And when you order, when you go to birddogs.com, that's birddogs.com/K100, you get a free Yeti-style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/K100 for a free Yeti-style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you.
There's a great product. Get your shorts and pants on comfortably with a sweet, sweet look to them at Bird Dogs. Boom.
All right, so next is this is from Vin2625. The subject is question for the K100 podcast. Well, that's us. Hey, guys, wonder if you had any insight on Anarquia, A-N-A-R-Q-U-I-A. What is it called?
Anarquia, I think.
Ooh, from TNA.
Anarquia, right, yeah.
Yeah, he was teamed with Hernandez, Sarita, and Rosita. Who? He literally had no offense in his matches and pretty much getting jobbed the whole time. His final match was a complete squash from Kurt Angle. He pissed people off backstage. He even know how to wrestle. This video pretty much sums it up.
Okay, just so you know, remember I told you that Rosita was an LAX once? That's yeah. Selena.
Oh, that's Selena?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't even want to watch this because the guy's obviously a jobber. All right.
Oh, this is a whole – this is 25
minutes. What is it now?
25 minutes
long. Yeah, forget it. No, the guy's a jobber. That's the guy didn't – he was a jobber. That's the thing.
I'm going to remind you guys again, if you're going to send anything, it's got to be 2-3 minutes top, okay?
All right, so next is from James Tandell, and the subject is question for Conan and Joe about disco. Okay, this is a question for you two about me, okay? Hey, K100, this is my first email to your show, so I'd like to ask a question of Joe, of Conan and Joe Feeney. When Disco Inferno talks about AEW, and it's not all praise, the AEW fans say the most insane stuff about him. I mean, your YouTube comment section is a war zone. Yet Bischoff has said way, way worse than Disco. Eric Bischoff has flat out called CM Punk a cunt. And said about a year ago, Tony Khan writes his shows like a retard. So why do you think that Disco gets more hassle online than Eric Bischoff? Also, guys, I don't know if you've seen any of the footage yet, but your ex-boy Billy Body has been a total dickhead at the WWE hotel in London. He's so obnoxious, as almost as if he's a living cartoon. Right. The question is for you. Why do I get so much heat and Eric doesn't?
I think from my perspective, you invite it more. I think you poke the bear a little bit more, like you want that discourse and interaction. So mm-hmm. you're looking for it. Eric doesn't go ham on Twitter like you do every now and then, you know.
Conan, you have a comment?
I really don't know because I'm not on Twitter that much. I just think that you've got a reputation and it's very hard to get out of it, you know. And because I know most of the time they don't even listen to what you're saying. Sometimes you do stuff where I'm like, okay, he's going to get heat for this, but you stand by it, you know,
yeah.
But, we're living in a generation where, you know, people want to pile on and bully and cancel and, you know, be judgmental and virtue signaling and trigger warnings and group hugs, you know.
Next is from Ben. Subject is Dominic. What's up, Disco and Joe? The question is for Conan. You hear about how MJF is the only heel that stays in character, but Dominic maintains his persona outside the ring as well. It's refreshing to see. Is this Conan's input, or is it Ray or Dominic himself? Well, I'm gonna make a comment here, and I hope Dominic's listening to this, and I would not have done this, Dominic. Okay? Dominic maintains his character on social media, all right? However, okay, like his Instagram page, okay, he's got 790,000 followers. You know, it's all character stuff. Him and Rhea Ripley, a lot of backstage shots, but him and Rhea. Well, today Dominic posted, "Happy birthday, beautiful 26. Looks amazing on you. Te amor, mo, mi amor." He posted a picture of his girlfriend on his Instagram page, on the same page that has all the stuff with him and Rhea and stuff. Right? I would not have done that.
But him and Rhea aren't – they're not supposed to be a couple, are they?
On TV, they are. So he's like staying true to the character 100% on Instagram. And now, except today, he's showing his real girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I would not – that's just my advice. I would not have done that. I don't think it's necessary unless – his girlfriend, maybe he's getting a little upset looking at her boyfriend's Instagram page and seeing Rhea Ripley and everything. And she like maybe wanted him to post something about her every once in a while. So, which could absolutely be true, you know? So what do you think about that, Conan?
That could be true. She's a really, really, really nice girl.
She's pretty hot, too.
But it could be true.
She's very attractive. Yeah. Interesting. It could very well be true. But you're doing good for yourself, Dom. So, but I would not, if you're going to stay in character on your social media.
Yeah, you should have been pushing off a bridge or something. Yeah.
Right. Just don't stray from that because
happy birthday. Don't fall too far.
Like you're exposing the business. I don't like, you know, so. Right. So next is from, where were we at here? Oh.
William Molina.
Where the hell did I go? I lost my. Oh, here we go. All right. Next is from William Molina Jr. And thanks. And the subject is giving thanks to the main eventer. Good afternoon, K100. How accurate is the folklore and rumors surrounding wrestlers going to the main eventer or main eventers of a wrestling card after the match or during the show to express gratitude for drawing the house? Bro, a lot. We never did this as a shoot, okay? And the funniest thing was if the house was not good and like the guy, you would go to the guy and say, "Hey, thanks for the house," like sarcastically. Like I think it was like there was a period of time there where WCW wasn't doing good, and like I think we had a house show running like maybe it was like Peoria, Illinois, or like Rapid City, Michigan. You know, just like kind of like B cities, right? And Booker T had just won the belt; and he was on top against Sid. And so me and Book always used to like rib each other pretty good, right? So Book would be like, "You know, hey, you're welcome for the house." And then I looked outside. He's like, "Yeah, thanks, Book." It's like there's nobody. Like we were just like joking. Right.
That was another like running joke. Right, like, "Hey, thanks for the payday." Yeah,
right.
Same thing. Yeah, right.
And like, but you would always. But nobody would ever put a guy over if the house is good. Like, thanks for the house. If the house is bad, you always want to go, "Hey, thanks for the house tonight."
Right.
It evolved from what was once a real custom, though, because guys like Hogan and Brett say that that would happen. They would be thanked by the other wrestlers in WWE for the house. Or is that just
No, that's difficult. Well, bro, the thing was, we didn't give a rat's ass because we were getting paid the exact same every time.
Yeah, right. They were getting a percentage. So if the house was good, everybody was like, "Hey, thanks for the house." Yeah.
Yeah, because your check would be like, you know, like you're making $900 on a B town and you're wrestling in the garden and it's sold out and you're making $5,000. You know, it's like you're the guy, right? "Hey, thanks for the house." You know, like,
is that something that happened in Mexico a lot?
Yeah.
When you were on top, you would get thanked.
Yep.
Would Vampiro ever get thanked for the house a lot?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. He was a big draw.
I got to tell this story. This is the funniest. The funniest Norman Smiley story I think I've ever heard is, you know, Norman and Vamp were like, would you consider Norman Vamp's only friend or did Vamp had other friends?
Yes. Him and a guy called Bob Barnett that was like a photographer in L.A. Those were the only two friends I ever met.
Really? Okay. So Norman and Norman still to this day speaks highly of he speaks he likes
but when we get together we just trade stories
Let me tell you one of the stories. This to me is the funniest story. This shows you like how Vamp was just always so full of shit and everything, but it was hysterical, right? So they went to the they were driving, okay, and they were driving together and they were working against each other in the main event. They were doing a loop but they were driving together, right? And Norman, like when the match is over, you know, like he was in the babyface locker room. So he goes over to the guy, "Hey, can I get my pay?" And the guy had two envelopes and the promoter goes to Norman and said, "Which one's mine?" He says, "Well, either one, but they're both the same." Okay. So it was him and Vamp. Those two envelopes, I took the envelope. So when they got in the car.
I know
the
story.
In the car, it's like, you know, Norman says like, "Hey, Vamp was like, how much did you get?" He's like 1,000. And Norman goes, "How much did you get?" He's like, 1,500.
Right.
It's like his best friend. He had to put one over on him and then tell a lie just to like make himself seem like he was more over than he was, right? Wow. So.
Well, not only that, when Vamp came into WCW and we were doing those Disney tapings. Mm-hmm. Now, this is his best friend. Magic beat him in a match.
Right.
And he told him, hey, that's the first time you've ever beaten me in like 8 years. Okay, and?
like they were real, you know? It's like,
right, right.
Right. Oh, my God.
But let me just say real quick, we are cool now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Interesting. Conan.
Yo, what up?
Do you remember the classic physiques, like the old school bodybuilders of the golden era, like in Venice Beach in the 70s?
Yeah, like Frank Zane and Perigno and Arnold and Draper and all those guys.
Yeah, 50 years on, and we're still looking at those guys as a gold standard. And you know what's crazy? They didn't have creatine, pre-workout, fat burners, like a lot of the other popular supplements you see today. But one supplement, I did not know this, they all used was desiccated liver. Because it's packed with amino acids for muscle growth, vitamins and minerals for health and immunity, but it's also proven to cause a huge increase in red blood cells, which means you recover quicker, have more endurance, and get better pumps. That is why I consider it a must for all these iconic bodybuilders. Our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition have just added desiccated liver from grass-fed cows to their world-class supplement lineup, but they've also gone a step further and introduced Essential Alpha, a grass-fed beef organ complex. Pound for pound, beef organs are the most nutritious food available, particularly for active men. That's a shoot, because liver is the healthiest thing you can eat. And Legacy believes in celebrating masculinity and maximizing male potential. Legacy, as you know, is owned and operated by Nick on probation, Aldis. And let me tell you, I talked to him about this, and he is super excited to finally be able to bring this to the market. And they've been working on the formula for a while, and he's been really singing the praises of this stuff. And can you ever think of a time when he wasn't ever in shape? I mean, if you're looking for a perfect supplement to help you build muscle, have more energy, and boost your immune system, and bring out your inner alpha, then you need to try Essential Alpha. Available right now at LegacySubs.com, and always use the code K100. Gets you 10% off and to help support this show. That's LegacySupps.com, and use the code K100 at checkout. And I'm a big fan of liver, and I'm definitely going to start using this product.
The great thing about Legacy Subs, which... And boy, they've been with us that long because people keep buying their shit. Or if not, they wouldn't be throwing no ads on our show. People like their products. We, all of us, use their products. They have everything. Anything that you can imagine, the list is too long, but anything to help you with your brain power, pre-workout, protein drinks. I mean, they, from the A to the Z. And the great thing for the females out there, they have a supplement line just for females, which is curated by his wife, Mickey James. So check either one of them out, you know. Get your supplements on Legacy Subs. Boom.
All right. So next is from Trent Arnold, subject to WCW. What's up, K100 crew? I've been recently watching episodes of WCW from 2000, and I don't understand how this was looked at as a bad show. Disco, you with the Mama Lukes was good TV, in my opinion. My question is, do you guys believe the only thing that was holding WCW back was the production? Looking back at some of the storylines from WCW during that time, they were good, but I feel like the production made WWE feel better than WCW more than anything. Thanks, Trent. I'll still say this. There was a like when Vince came into WCW and he booked in 99-2000, right? Mm-hmm. He, like, every character on the show had a storyline. Whether the storyline was good or not, whatever, but everybody had like a story, backstage vignettes, interviews. Like there was just like a lot of guys were involved in a lot of stuff, right? I will put the Mama Luke's TV, like the vignette, bro, even the Filthy Animals. We did some really funny stuff on with the Filthy Animals, where I'd be like, I was the guy that was like, you can go back and watch some of these clips. They're pretty funny. Like I was trying to like book our matches. And I would get confused because like Ray would be hurt. I say, Ray, it's me and you tonight against so and so. Ray be like, what are you talking about? I'm out. I got an elbow shirt. I was like, oh God, I forgot. You know, I'd be like I was like the dumb schmuck that would always like. Then you guys would yell at me for like, you know, screwing things up all the time. It was funny stuff, you know. But those type of vignettes would be good on TV today. Like I would put our backstage vignettes and stuff that we did up against anything on TV today, and then it could absolutely hang with you know. It'd definitely be better than anything on AEW, and it'd be just as good as anything in the WWE right now. Would you agree with that, Cody?
I don't remember them too much. I'd have to look at them again.
If you watch them back, some of them are hysterical. Like we're all just like
well, we had good sense of humor and we all got along, you know.
And everybody, if you're watching this, everybody could look at like you guys were always frustrated with me because I was like the schmuck, right? So you would get that out of the storyline. So, all right,
next. Hang on, I got a random one here for you to look at. It's short.
Guys, don't worry about this. Don't worry about this, okay? Don't worry about it. You do the running. I pin the cat. I'm the commissioner. We run this place, guys.
That's not possible, man.
Why do you keep telling us what to do?
Kill the duck.
Maybe the fans will beat his ass. Maybe I have the gift of the World Tag Team title by a lame brain with an inflatable goose.
Bro, that was like some funny stuff we did. Like you guys didn't get to run that. I went after I screwed everything up, and you guys came running after me to like beat me up. So, that's funny stuff, you know. Next is from John Doan. Subject is what went wrong. Question for K Dog: what went wrong with your original MLW podcast? MLW originally had you, Cornette, and Pritchard. These podcasts made and are still making a ton of money under different networks. Why didn't MLW become the successful Conrad Network? Who messed that up?
Well, Cornette was very difficult for Kurt to deal with. And he'd be like, for example, I'll give you one example. For whatever reason, he hated Mark Madden. And he was like, yeah, if Madden is ever on your show, because I think we had him on once, if you bring him out, I'm off the thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and it's kind of a shame because I loved Cornette when I met him in Impact, which is where I really got to know him. I liked him because he was very opinionated like me. He didn't give a fuck like me. He had no problem, you know, just keeping it real, you know. So I always liked him.
It was very funny, too. Very funny.
Yeah, he was very funny. You know, I've invited him on the show many times and never even, you know, answered. I'm like, do we have a needle or something?
Because he thinks I'm like Vince's friend. So he won't come on the show because I'm like Vince's friend.
It's incredible.
That would be the reason why. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I know it's so petty.
And so Pritchard, who me and him had a very bad relationship, when he got the Impact, like I thought he was hilarious. Bro, we had him on the show too. We had him here. He was a great storyteller with an incredible memory. Like he's really funny, you know, but I don't text him because I might think he's thinking, oh, this guy's trying to look for work. You know what I'm saying? But I had a really good time with him in Impact and he treated me good when I went to WrestleMania. But I just think that, well, you know, I got a deal from Jericho to leave for more money. So I left, you know, I invited him and MSL. They didn't want to come. Cornette, you know, like I said, he was always having problems and for one reason or another. And Pritchard, I don't know what happened with him. So, yeah.
I think he and Conrad, the show got huge immediately. And I think they were looking to make more money from ads.
Oh, okay. So then they left. Okay.
So maybe when they were finding their own sponsors, Court probably wanted a cut and they're probably, well, why would I do that? You know, just stuff like
that. Yeah, bro. Look at that. Court had me and Cornette and Pritchard.
Bischoff briefly, Kevin Sullivan, you know.
All right, next is from Guled Ahmed. This is ridiculous, okay? I should suspend him for asking such a stupid question. Subject is Hulk Hogan and UFC. Yo, K100 crew, a while ago I read an article that Hulk Hogan was in talks about joining UFC in its early days, but declined due to its violent nature. Do you guys remember something like that? I can see a scenario where he tries to Hulk up and Ken Shamrock's like, that shit doesn't fly here. And karate kicks him in the square.
In the what?
In the square.
What's that? You're nuts?
I don't know. Like this is so stupid. Like he thinks that like Hulk would be hulking up in a UFC fight against Shamrock.
But Hogan did say, he said publicly that he talked to the original owners.
He's full of shit.
And he's also claimed that he was almost bass player for Metallica, which was also made up.
Right.
Hulk just does that.
Yeah. Conan, guess what?
What's up?
It's time to unleash the beach beast within you. Oh. Know what that means? It means this summer, Manscaped is here to help you level up your beach game with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. to going past waist deep in the grooming game and diving in headfirst to your facial hair fantasy. The Beard Hedger is a game changer, allowing you to shape your beard like a true beach babe. So this summer, let the beach balls bounce and turn heads all over the place. Visit manscaped.com and use the code K100 for 20% off and free shipping. So here's the deal. It's time to tame your mane, okay? A lot of people have trouble with facial hair. They don't like to shave. So why not go for it and let's try the beard. Say goodbye to all the stubble trouble with the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. It all starts with the Beard Hedger. First off, this cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair-cutting lengths, all with one guard, so no more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. You don't have to have all the guards and everything, right? Products. You only have to worry about that, right? It's waterproof, so you can shave in the shower to avoid all the hair in the sink. And the titanium-coated T-blade is tough in the hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. And it doesn't end there, because they've created four dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care, okay? First, there is the beard shampoo and conditioner that comes with this. And you remember, all your hair is different. Your beard hair is more coarse and easier to damage than the hair on your head, obviously. And that's why the kit has made shampoo and conditioner specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replace natural oils, and promote beard health. Next, the kit has Manscaped Beard Oil. This helps relieve dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath while adding a little shimmer and shine. And cap off the kit with the Beard Balm, a pomade that shapes, styles, moisturizes, and tames for a sculpted look to attract any fellas or dames. Look, with all these products, if you don't have an on-point beard after a few weeks, that's got to be on you. Because the Pro Beard Kit also comes with three free gifts, a beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. And you know, this is the year 2023. Beards are in. The chicks like beards, but they don't like sloppy, ugly beards. They like well-groomed beards. So get 20% off and free ship with code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code K100. That's the Manscaped Beard Hedger, one stroke, one guard, and 20 lengths at manscaped.com.
Yeah, this is our best-selling product, and there's a reason why. It's high quality and it works. Now they've got everything from, I can guarantee you, these are the most comfortable briefs, boxers that you'll ever wear. Incredible. You wouldn't think that, you know, a shaving company would come up with something this sweet, but they did. And they've got everything from deodorant, the motherfucking the weed whacker for your hair and for your nose hairs and your ears. They got shampoo, they got conditioner, they got a body wash. I mean, they got everything so you can feel fresh, be clean, smell good. They even got cologne. I mean, these guys just bring it. And they got a really sweet leather toiletry bag that doesn't look cheap or look like, you know, you can bring it to you when you travel or stay over somewhere. It's just, you know, top of the line any way you cut it. So, you know, keep your groom on, you know, look clean, look presentable, smell clean for job interviews, just to go out in public. I know that's a big issue with wrestling fans, that their hygiene is not that great. This can help you. Go check out Manscaped. Boom.
Next is some rain or shine, subject short and simple. Hey, K100, how come I can listen to Cornette? It's completely free of noise. Well, listen to you guys. Everything is censored. It gets a bleep. What gives? P.S. This guy heard your Howard Finkel impersonating, but your Kermit the Frog one is a little bit better. Oh. Suspension, 1 week, rain or shine.
Wait a minute.
No, because, bro, you got to navigate your way around. You listen to our regular show. The regular show, you don't get the thing, but we have to censor a lot of stuff on YouTube because their algorithm is, you know, fixated where, like, you can, like, the words you use are cut, you can get demonetized like a snap of a finger.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, so we have to do that.
If you're that interested in uncensored stuff, man, just go on Patreon where everything is uncensored, you know, and even if there's some stuff that might be too hot for the podcast or words that we shouldn't use, that everything's on Patreon and there's no ads too. So there you go.
Right.
Tell him where he can find the Patreon.
Patreon.com/Conan. You get content every day. You get 6+ years of stuff now. I mean, and it's all uncensored. It's been that way all along.
Yeah. Next one is from, four more left from Ben. Subject is Latinx. Conan, Connecticut has signed into a law banning the term Latinx and replace it with the gender neutral Latine, L-I-T-I-N-E. How do you feel about that?
Well, what's the difference, bro? It's almost like saying instead of kicking you in the nuts, I'm going to fuck you in the ass. Okay, well, both are going to hurt and both are not going to be enjoyable. Well, what is the fucking difference?
What is wrong with Latino and Latina?
Right.
Like, so Latino is a male, male Spanish person.
Right.
Latina is a female Mexican.
If you're identifying as a man, you're a Latino. And if you're identifying as a woman, you're a Latina.
Right.
I don't understand this.
Bro, this is what progressives do. They create problems so they can solve them. Like, they think that, like, those words weren't inclusive, so we created another word to solve the problem of inclusivity.
Right, we did all right for hundreds of years. Right.
Yeah.
Nobody was like, oh, okay, you're Latino, you're a man.
Right.
You're Latina, you're a woman. Okay, that's a good thing. If it ain't broken, doesn't need to get fixed.
Exactly.
Let's break this bitch. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference? They are meant to mean the same thing anyway. So why
here's the difference. This is the problem. Literally nobody was complaining about this until a couple people started bringing it up, and then all of a sudden they do this, and it's like, now this is the new way. It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, nobody. This wasn't a problem to begin with. Well, that's the thing. They create problems so they can solve them, you know? There's people like that. Bro, in every job you have, there's always somebody like that at work where there's something's not a problem. And they'll try to point something out to make it a problem. They'll come up with a new protocol you have to do to solve this new problem that was never a problem to begin with, right? So that they feel happy about, like, they're doing something and they did good work when you literally did nothing except bring up something that wasn't a problem and fixed it. And we're right back to the point where it wasn't a problem to begin with anyway. You know, so that's how this shit works. So next is from Charles Redman. The subject is Ryback's death threats. Have you heard about this, Conan? I've gotten some DMs from Ryback about this. Good day, guys. Hope you're all doing well. Seem you've heard, but there's this guy recently calling into Ryback's podcast, threatening him and various friends and family of him. I'd be interested to hear your take on the situation. These types of issues and threats have become more common, especially in the wrestling world community. I've attached the article below. Basically, bro, there's this mentally unstable guy that's threatening him and threatening his family and stuff and everything, and DMing him and stuff and everything. And then, bro, Ryback's got the FBI on it.
Mm, right.
It's that bad. And that's what you do. You call, like, bro, this is, you know, when people threaten you with physical harm and violence, that's, you know.
And your family.
Yeah, that's okay. You need to go after people like that. That's where, this is where, like, where words are violence. You know, we're like, hey, yeah, when you're actually getting threatened with violence, that's when it matters, you know. So.
Yeah, I read or saw that he tweeted something about how, I know your mom lives in the house behind yours or something, like, just shit you shouldn't know and shouldn't be using as threats and all that, you know, just bullshit.
Yeah. All right, next is from Buttons. Subject is Eddie Kingston. Greetings, K100 crew. I know you mentioned the turn of Eddie Kingston in your AW review this past week, but I have to bring up what everyone's thinking. Is it possible that during this hiatus he's gained even more weight? To me, it did not look good. He even mentioned his promo that he had to put a shirt on because he had too much ice cream. Is it just me, or is this a bad look for a wrestler to openly call yourself out for being out of shape? Thanks for your insight, and that's from Buttons. Like, I hope this doesn't make it to a YouTube clip, because I don't want all the people coming after me again for being a hater on Eddie. You know, but dude, it's like, Eddie Kingston's gimmick would work. He could be the out of shape guy, slob, and stuff.
Yeah, Kevin Owens.
If everybody else on the show, like, dressed professionally instead of dressing like slobs, like they come out of the show, because half the guys in the show come out in t-shirt and jeans or t-shirt, and then they look like I said, they don't dress for work. So you don't look like a gimmick. You look like an out of shape guy that dresses like the other guys. So you need to work on that. I don't have sympathy for people that don't put the work in. Bro, Vince Russo, bro, Mark Madden lost like 80 pounds. You know, it's like, bro, if Mark Madden can lose that weight, Vince Russo lost like 30, 40 pounds. These guys are all like 60-year-old guys, you know, that have like the same schedule as like you guys. You have a lot of free time on their hands. So it's like, you know, bro, just you know, put in the work. I don't know. I know people are going to think I'm harsh or body shaming, but it's like, shit, dude. It's like, if you had more muscles and your belly was a little bit smaller and you're more in your chest, you'd look more menacing as a character. You know, I mean, and I don't think anybody can really argue with that. What do you think, Conan?
Well, the thing is that we all know an out of shape guy that can fight or is a tough guy. So he's kind of like that guy. And the people still love him, no matter if he's fat or he isn't fat. So if they're accepting him, you know, of course, he'd be more marketable if he was in shape and probably even more menacing, like you say. But a lot of the guys there don't give a fuck. They're very well paid. And as long as the fan base is cheering for them, they're like, why fix this? Because, you know, Conan and Disco and some other fans think this. Look at these guys. So
Bubba Ray Dudley, okay, right, was always looked at as kind of like just like the fat guy in 3D.
Right.
Okay. Dudley. Then what happened? Right. Then he got in shape.
Right.
What happened to his career and his position on the card when he got in shape?
Top heel.
World champion. It's not like there's not a lot of history involved in like this for guys who've gotten in better shape and moved up the card. I mean, that's kind of like, especially when it's guys that are talented. Because like I said, the guy's got a top baby face mouth for interviews. He can go one-on-one with anybody, but it's just like you look at it, it's like, I don't think this guy, like, he can't beat any of these guys because he doesn't look it. You know, that's what I would say. So,
whatever. And people, there's always a contingent of fans that have made fun of Eddie for the shape he's in and stuff. And then people on YouTube will be like, hey, AEW apologist and stuff. But I know that Eddie had like a double hernia repair. So that's not exactly the best recovery time to try to tighten up your abs or something. You can't do anything, you know.
Next is from William Molina Jr. And the subject is Triple H mad at Vince. Hello, K100. I've read into stories lately teeming with the seething frustration that consumes Triple H due to Vince McMahon's ceaseless tampering with the creative process, frequently executed with audacious spontaneity on the very day of the show.
Okay, wait a minute. This guy's using too many words, like trying to show off his vocabulary.
Well, that's
my spot.
Yeah. This impels me to inquire. Was this type of behavior ever a constant occurrence in any promotions where Disco K-Dog graced their presence? Bro, we 15 minutes before the show, they'd be changing the show. Like, this is not old news, but I want to say this. I hear all the dirt sheet podcasters and the Mark podcasters are talking about the frustration with Triple H and Vince. It's like, I don't take any credence into those stories at all. I watch their shows, and if Vince McMahon's involved in the creative process, the shows have been very well written lately. Okay, so if he's involved in the process, it's been very good, and the numbers have been good. So everybody like the whole thing, like, oh, Vince is, they're going to, this ominous thing, like, if Vince is involved, it's going to go down the tubes again. So, bro, show me the evidence of that. There's zero evidence of that. They're in a good stride right now, and they're doing the best business they've done in like 20 years almost.
Yeah, it's hot.
I mean, you know, the weekly television numbers aren't there.
And
but
for all we know, Vince might be letting Hunter write the show with other guys, and he's editing it, and he's, you know, and who wouldn't want Vince's experience?
Right. Know? Like, they make it sound like Vince doesn't know. Bro, the dirt sheet marks and the Mark podcasters make it sound like they think that Vince doesn't know what he's doing. It's like, all right, you know, okay, guys, like, you know, I don't know.